I like the sunlight, don't you? The S-O-N light. Praise God, praise God. Well, we just love the Lord and we love you. Amen. Hope that you've had a wonderful day. Hope that the Lord has been good to you, and from the looks like you're very, very blessed. Just going to bring a message tonight. We don't intend to be here very, very long. We need your prayers. Kevin is coughing all day long. He's just coughing one cough right after another. Sister Penny's kind of hoarse too, so we're going to try to get Kevin home and in the bed and his breathing machine on as soon as can. But we want the Lord to have his way. And I just want to take my message tonight from the book of Psalms. I love the encouragement of the word. Amen. I love to feel the power of God when I read the word of God. Amen. I don't want to just read it as something to do. I want to feel and experience the word as I read it. Amen. And apply it to my life and to my soul. And I find that God is always seemingly just what I need. His word, when I open the word of God, it seems to feel that need and to feel that expectancy, amen, that I have when I go to the Lord. But I want to read just the very first 8 verses of the 119th Psalm, a very long psalm. In fact, the longest chapter, I believe, in the Bible. But we're going to give you a break and not preach at all tonight. Is that okay? Amen. The first 8 verses of Psalms 119. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. The psalmist said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all thy commandments, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Brother Terry, would you take us to the Lord in prayer tonight and ask God's anointing and his blessing upon his messenger? Yes, Lord.
Touch and anoint Brother Eddie's lips as he brings forth your ear. That's your word, Lord. Anoint our ears and our lips that we can not only hear, but we can understand.
Grant it, dear Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Give all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. From this very powerful chapter and these first 8 verses tonight, I want to take my text, and if I had a message title, it would be, Lord, direct my ways. Direct my ways. You know, we've often heard it said in the Bible quoted that God's thoughts and his ways are so much higher than ours. And I think that they're so much higher sometimes that sometimes it's very hard for mere humans to comprehend the mindset of God, and certainly his knowledge and wisdom is way beyond our ability to even fathom. It's amazing to me that a deity could just speak something into existence. Amen. You know, a lot of people, sometimes they talk about the world and how it was formed and fashioned, but if you read the word of God, he made something out of nothing.
Amen.
Because the world was void. There was nothing to make anything out of. So it had to be the spoken word of God. And I preached a message on that one time and how he made something out of nothing. Can you relate to that? Amen. He took a nothing and he made something out of it. Not lifting myself up by no means, because nothing about me is righteousness. Amen. But that is within me, that spirit of the Holy Ghost. And thank God for that. He turned a nothingness into something. And it is amazing to me that God has that ability and just to be able to comprehend or to imagine that at the spoken word, things could be done and the world could be formed and man could be fashioned and all of these wonderful things that God is able to do. And to just, I've heard of people say, I just kind of want to pick your brain. Can you imagine the majesty of God and what wisdom and knowledge is there? We'll never, this side of heaven, I believe, be able to understand. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly, meaning that there's some things that we don't understand. But I want to be submissive. Although I may not understand or comprehend God's word or His ways, I want to be obedient to His ways. And in that, I need Him to show me the way. I need Him to direct my ways. Because that brain that I have sometimes doesn't know the way. Doesn't know the path to take. And I was intrigued to read here, and I'm going to list them just in these first 8 verses, the thing that the psalmist began to write about the righteous person and about the blessed person. And the psalmist states that blessed are they that are undefiled, those that are upright and blameless. And surely they are blessed. Amen. To live an undefiled life, to walk in the newness of the Spirit of God, to adhere to the precepts and the statutes and the commandments of God and to be upright and blameless. And the word blameless is a powerful message, a powerful word. And there's been times in my life that I didn't think I was to blame. I remember that there was an incident that happened when I was in high school. This was in early high school, probably 9th or 10th grade. It's amazing when you go to high school, you think that you're grown. And Lord, do we find out that we're a long way from being grown. But we were in the lunchroom. We were having our study hall in the lunchroom, and it was immediately after the lunch period, and the lunchroom ladies were inside cleaning up and washing and getting ready to depart, I guess, and all the tables were clean, and we were sitting on, the round tables like that are out there in the Curtis Center, and there was a round table that sat pretty close. That's where the teachers sat when they had their lunch, and there was about 6 or 7 of us boys sitting around that table, and there, the little cubby hole where you put your trays and your empty plates, they had closed that off, and they do that every time, and we were having the study hall, and some got into one of these boys, and without any warning whatsoever, he gets up from the round table and walks over and takes his hand and slaps the back of that little cubby hole, that little door, with all the power that he could. And it was quiet in study hall, and it almost sounded like a shotgun went off. And I mean, of course, we freaked out. And then boys are, "Well, that was funny. That's funny." And then they opened the door, and they had this poor lady sitting in a chair, and they were fanning her, and she was standing right there at the door that this boy hit, and she almost had a heart attack. And basically, we found out later that they'd been having trouble with one of the, I don't know if it was one of the dishwashers or something like that, and she thought that thing had blowed slap up. And anyway, to let you know, and to make a long story very, very short, we all got in trouble. Because they went directly to the principal's office, which was right outside the lunchroom, and here come the principal in there, and of course he lined all 7 of us up and wanted to know who it was that did such a terrible thing. And one thing about, you're scared to death, but you don't want to be called a rat either. You don't want to tell on anybody. So we all held our silence, and he was at the point of marching us into that room. In fact, he did. He took us out of the lunchroom into his office, and he was prepared to paddle each and every one of us. 6 of us were completely blameless. 1 of us was to blame. But all 7 of us was about to get a paddling from the principal because we would not open our mouth. So we remained true. We wasn't going to tattle on anybody, so we were getting prepared to take our licks from the principal, and when he pulled that paddle out, he said, "I'm going to ask you one more time, which one of y'all did it?" And the one that did it spoke up. He said, Well, he didn't do it. And he went down the line and he didn't do it. Went down the line six to all. To, and he said, not a one of them done. And the principal said, that must mean you. He said, yep, I reckon I'm the guilty one. So he got the paddle and the rest of us got along. But my point is how close we were, amen, to receiving punishment for something that we was completely blameless for. Now, I won't tell you that I had always been blameless in my life, and I can't tell you if I'd have thought of it first, I might have done it, but in that particular situation, I was completely blameless from that situation. But I began to think about this. Blessed are the undefiled, upright, and blameless. I cannot say that I've always stood blameless before God. I cannot say that I've always been perfect and undefiled before God, because I know that in my human ways, I know that in my faults and in my failures, I have come up short so many times. But I am so thankful to stand here and tell you tonight that even though there was plenty of blame, even though there was plenty of situations in my life where that I had been wrong and I knew that I was wrong, I was so thankful for the mercy and grace of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who took me as I was, undefiled and or defiled and unrighteous and actually blame plenty, but he took me, amen, and he made me anew. Aren't you glad, amen, that when I came to an altar of repentance, I was just as much to be blamed as anything, amen, because I had fell short so many times, and God took me, and with his Holy Spirit, amen, he washed me and regenerated my life. And yes, I am blessed today. I'm blessed not because that I'm undefiled and upright and blameless. I'm blessed because I got a God that took me in my worst condition and made me to become blameless, not because of me, but because of him. Amen. The psalmist goes on to say, blessed are those who keep God's commandments. Thank God for his commandments. Thank God for his testimonies. Thank God for his word. And I know that there's people that have maybe failed on some of the commandments, maybe some of the precepts and the statutes of God, and maybe we've been a little shortcoming in some of those areas. But the psalmist here said, blessed are those that keep his commandments, and those that know God's commandments, and certainly they are blessed, amen. But I know that without a doubt that sometimes we have failures in our life, but even though that we may have messed up on some of the commandments, how many knows we still have a forgiving God, amen. And I'm thankful so much that I'm blessed, even though maybe short in some of these areas. And then he goes on to say, those who seek God with their whole heart, how blessed they are. How many can identify with that? That maybe there's times in our life when we haven't really given God our whole heart. We haven't really given him our undivided attention. But in all of our failures, God still loves us and still forgives us. And we're blessed because of that. We're blessed because of God's mercy and his grace. And the psalmist here goes on to say that those that are undefiled, those who keep God's commandments, and those who seek God with their whole heart, they're so blessed. And then he goes on to mention those who do no iniquity or unrighteousness, and how blessed that they are to have that relationship with God. And all of these accolades and all of these wonderful characteristics here that he's describing, that the person that is blessed, that is able to do all of these things. And it even gets better. He said, those who keep God's precepts diligently. Man, without fail, they're committed to keeping God's word and his commandments. And I am in awe that people who have walked in those ways. And you know, I used to be in school when they had the demerit system. And I was in awe that people could go through basically a whole day without getting any demerits, let alone a whole school term. I was never one of those people. Trey here on the first, I think I told you, the first day of school, and a little friend of his, he was talking. I think he got in trouble for talking a little bit too much, and Karen was asking him about it, and he was talking to Parker. Said, well, did you meet Parker? Yeah, I met Parker, and I believe Trey said, she don't talk very much. And Karen said, well, Did you get in trouble for talking? Yeah, he said, but mother, you got to understand, God made Parker not to talk, and God made me to talk. And she went on to say, well, listen, you got to understand that Miss Shaw is very strict, and she wants you to pay attention and not be talking around and listening to her. He said, yeah, but mama, Miss Shaw is way up here, and we're just little children. We're just way down here, you know. And then she said, how do you get on to somebody that says that, you know? But I was more like Trey. I was talking. I remember one time in fifth grade, I was sitting there and we was trying to study, and I was talking to one of the little boys that was right in front of me or something. And all of a sudden, if a teacher done this today, she'd probably be dismissed. But this teacher grabbed my desk while I was in it and slid me to the other side of the room. She said, I'm going to slide you somewhere where you won't be able to talk. I'm going to separate you and your little buddy over there. I'm telling you what, that was a wild, wild ride. He met across that room because I didn't know what was going on until she put me over there. And I didn't know them people as well, so I didn't talk as much until I got to learn them. But I said all that to say this. The psalmist is talking about those people that are blessed, that are undefiled and upright and blameless, and who keep God's commandments to the point, and those who seek God with their whole heart, and those who do no iniquity or uprightness. When I was going to school, and you know, you do stuff like that, you take a whooping at school because the other boys would beat you up unless you was kind of going along with them, if you was to a goody-goody or something like that, or teacher's pet. And I thought about all those things, and I began to read here, and then said, those who keep God's precepts diligently, who respect His commandments and praise Him with an upright heart and keep His statutes. And I thought, Lord, all of these wonderful accolades, and I wish I could be able to say that I've always walked that way. I've always kept those. I've always served Him with my whole heart. I've always sought God's precepts diligently. I've always respected and obeyed His commandments. I've always worked and treated everybody with an upright heart and kept His statutes. I can't say that I've always done that, but I can say thank God He forgave me anyway. Praise God, He's still my Lord and Savior. Yes. But then I saw something. The person or persons whom this psalmist is describing, with all of these wonderful accolades and all this ability to keep God's holy word and to be upright and to follow and know His precepts and all the wonderful things. And I admire that in that person. But still, this person has spoke up and said, but God, I still need You to show me the way. I still need You to direct my ways. And I thought, God, as good as we can be, as obedient as we can be, as much of a Bible reader and a prayer warrior that we can be, and listen, I am not putting any of that down. Don't you ever think that I am. Those are very admirable traits and wonderful traits. The more that we can do for God, I believe the more He'll bless us. Amen. I think we need to be dedicated to His word and to His work, and whatever God has called you, whatever capacity, do it with all of your might under the Lord and not to man, and God will bless you. But so many times, because we're human, we fall short in certain areas, and maybe we can't live up to some of those things, but God still loves us anyway. And I thought about even the person here that the psalmist is describing still prays that the Lord will direct his ways. And I said, God, let me never ever get to the point that I don't need Your direction. I need it each and every day of my life. I need it now. I need it every time I stand behind this pulpit. I need it every time that I have a counsel in my office. Every time that I walk into a hospital and lay my hands on someone to pray. Every time I walk down that corridor, I need Him to direct my paths. Amen. I need Him to direct my ways. The way that I converse, the way that I act, the way that I treat others. I stand here today telling you that without the Lord, I can do nothing. Amen. Without the Lord, surely I would fail. My ways are no way able to compare to His ways, and my thoughts could never ever arise to His thoughts. But thank God, because of His mercy, because of His grace, and because of His understanding, I can still pray after several years of ministering, Lord, I still need You to direct my ways. Everything that I do, everything that I say, everything that I endeavor, Lord, I need you to direct my ways. And this is what the psalmist said. He said, then shall I not be ashamed. Then shall I not be ashamed. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. I looked up the word direct, and I had a fairly good idea of what it meant, but I'm going to read it anyway. It says, to guide, to show, to point out, or determine with authority. Thank God for the authority of God. Amen. I praise God for His authority and His authoritative voice when He speaks to us. Amen. We need to obey His word. We need to obey His guidance and adhere to His direction. I'm still amazed at people who stop and ask for directions and then argue with the person giving them directions. I've seen it happen so many times. I was in one of those gas stations, and I went in. I was driving and to get something to drink and a pack of crackers or something. And this person come in, and they begin to ask directions. And the lady that was there behind the counter said, yes, yes, I can tell you. And she began to tell them the directions. And they said, oh, no, that's not the way. That's not the road. This is the road. No, and the lady finally said, who's lost here? Me or you? She said, I live here. If you'll listen to it. And then, of course, they slowed down. But they wanted to argue, and they was the one that was lost finding directions. I don't want to be that way with God. I don't want to come to God and say, Lord, I need directions. And when He tells me, Lord, that's not the way. That's not what I want to do. I can't do that. That's not what I want to be. Amen. I want to have all these other abilities. I want to be able to say that I'm blessed because I do these other things. Amen. But I want to understand that even if I kept all of those things and adhere to all of those ways, I still need His direction. I still need His guidance. I still need His counsel. I still need His authority to lead me and guide me and direct me in the way that I should go, because I found out when I don't listen to God, that's when I get in trouble. When I don't seek His direction, that's when I find myself lost and searching and looking for a way. And the path is always right when God tells us and leads us down that path. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Forsake me not utterly. Forsake me, Lord, not utterly. Please don't leave me. Please don't forsake me. Because without you, I can't make it. But how many knows with the Lord, we're going to make it. All things are possible. So I need His direction. And in order to get to His direction, I need to ask. And sometimes you have to ask in humility. So many times I think, maybe if we've been serving the Lord a while, we're familiar with the Word, we're familiar with His blessings. Sometimes we think that we know what we're supposed to do. We think we know the direction that we're supposed to take. But I believe with all of my heart, we must ask the Lord. We must be able to be submissive to His will. I'll share one other thing with you before we close tonight, because I want us to really adhere to the direction. Understand, if you read that, all those wonderful things, those wonderful abilities that psalmist was describing, that person, after all of that, amen, still needed the direction of God. Many, many years ago, we were still, my brother and I, we were still in grammar school, and Dad had worked at Fisher Body, that's General Motors. He's worked on an assembly line, and Daddy worked second shift, and he didn't get to go with us on Wednesday night to church. He missed because he was working, and a lot of things he missed out in that early years of us because he was working at night and kind of sleeping during the day, you know, and we saw him on the weekends and all. But Daddy had an opportunity to buy a business, to buy a store, to buy a grocery store. And man, to me and my brother, that was a no-brainer. You know, Dad, you just need to do it. Your mom, you know. It's amazing when you're living at home, you think money is just prevalent. Until you get out onto your own, and then you find, I don't see how in the world Mother and Daddy ever made it and give us, me and my brother, what we wanted and all and spent. But when you're living at home, you think, man, Mom, Dad's just got all kind of money and do whatever they want to. And if they don't have it, just go up to the bank. That's what Trey said. Just go. If you run out of money, Papa, go to the bank. They will give you more. I said, I'll keep that in mind, son, when I get there. But my brother and I said, yeah, man, that's Daddy. Yeah, yeah. You know, you used to have, because Daddy was in the grocery business. In fact, all three brothers at one time had a rolling store back when, you know, a lot of the roads were unpaved. So Daddy had grocery experience, you know, but he never actually owned a grocery store. So Dad, yeah, man, you got experience. You can do it. You'll make a great living. And Mom can be there. She's had cash register experience and all. And that, you know, we was building them up, and the whole time we was thinking, man, that store is going to be great for me and you, Dennis. We're going to have all kind of access to all the goodies we can want, you know. Come home from school every day, go straight to the store, and instead of, wouldn't it be nice just to go over to the candy store and the chip store and just get something, start eating, not have to go pay for it? That's what was going through our mind. Yes, Daddy, this is the leading of the Lord. You need to do it. And by then we were attending the Rockmart Church, because my granddaddy hadn't started pastoring a church down here, and Brother Watson was pastoring there. And I remember one Sunday, Mom and Dad, and they got me and Dennis involved. You know, there was a time that the Holy Ghost drug me to the altar, but not this time. Mom and Dad drug me to the altar on this particular time, and my brother. And I remember we walked up there, and Mom and Dad was speaking. He said, there's a decision that we need to make, and we want God's leading. If it's God's will, then we want to know it. If it's not God's will, then we want to accept that. And I was probably praying more than I'd prayed any time up to my life in that time. God, it's got to be your will. It's got to be your will. Please, please let Daddy buy that store. You know, and I was thinking, Lord, you know, it's like I said, it's a no-brainer, Brother Jim. Man, it's going to be the greatest thing in the world, you know. But I believe with all of my heart, and I know this as I begin to grow up and I begin to watch my mom and my dad, they truly meant if it was not God's will for them to have that business, they didn't want any part of it. And it took me a long time to really understand that, because if it had not been God's will, then that thing would have been a failure, it had been a flop, and then everybody had been miserable, and not because two little boys wanted their way. And I think sometimes, thank God for allowing us to mature Him, because even after I grew up, there's sometimes that I still had that childlike expectation when I went before God. God, you got to give me this. God, you just got to make a way. Lord, you know how much I need this. And then I think about Daddy and Mother as they stood before that entire church and they asked that God's will be done. If God's will be done, then we'll have that opportunity to buy this business. If it's not, we don't want any part of it. And they didn't go the next day. They didn't go the next day and get to the bank and all about. They prayed and prayed and prayed until Mom and Dad got the clearance from God, got the Spirit from God to believe that He had sanctioned that, and to prayed and thank God for that. But so many times in our prayer life, even when we've kept the commandments, even when we've lived for God, even when we've preached for the Lord, even when we've done all of these other things, sometimes our expectation is for God just to give us what we want. But I want to be like this psalmist. Lord, if we've done all these other things, I still need you to show me the way. I still need you to direct my path. I don't want to make a decision unless I ask it be the will of the Lord. The Bible says not even plan to take a trip unless you ask the will of the Lord. And I want to be that dedicated and that committed to God's word, because I believe if we do, God will see us through every situation. He already knows the outcome. He already knows the path to lead us down. I just want to be submissive and obedient to it. May God bless you. I love you with all of my heart. I appreciate you coming out on a Sunday night. I know sometimes with choir practice and everything, it gets a little burdensome. But thank God for you tonight, and thank God for coming. Would you stand tonight as we prepare to dismiss? As always,